Congregation, we have come to the Lord's Day 51, page 126. On page 86, let's read it together. Lord's Day 51, question 126. Which is the fifth petition? Answer. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Let us be pleased, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So far. A prayer for forgiveness. Pretty simple tonight. A prayer for forgiveness and two thoughts. Forgive us. And secondly, as we forgive. A prayer for forgiveness. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Debt? What is that? In what sense? What is debt? Some people have a spending addiction. We like to buy things. They have many credit cards and they max them all out. Sometimes husbands, wives, very upset with that, have a car loan, a mortgage, and sometimes the mortgage goes up and the value of the house goes down. And people are really in trouble financially and get depressed, down. Or they have to work hard to get out of that pit. They may need the help of friends. Hopefully they're healthy and strong and young. That's debt that can be quite cumbersome and quite difficult to get out of that rut and out of that debt. But that's not what it's about tonight, of course. Forgive us our debts is asking the Lord. Lord, we have a debt with thee. We owe thee so much. We are in the red. There's a huge amount of sins. I was thinking of that volcano on the big island of Hawaii. And for weeks and weeks, there's a river of lava going down to the ocean. It's immense. It just keeps going. It keeps going. That stream, rivers, kilometers long rivers of hot lava ending into the ocean, giving lots of steam and glass particles in the air. It doesn't stop. And you can't stop it. Some whole roads are covered with the thick layer of lava. There's no way to stop it. It just keeps coming. And so there is a stream of foul transgressions. We make our guilt heavier. We make that guilt, that mountain higher. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps going, amazing. It keeps going, that hot lava flow of sin keeps pouring out. Does it ever stop? Oh, that's our nature. Out of our hearts can come all those sins. They all stick out their ugly heads. We are sinful people. We make so much debt. In so many different ways, we're obsessed with things, preferring things over the Lord. And it hurts when work is so important, when sexuality is so important, when family life is first and the Lord is last. People obsessed by things. And they want it, they want to continue and please themselves. The Heidelberg Catechism speaks about those things, but also the canons of the Lord. Remember that first chapter, first article? All men, no exceptions, all men have sinned in Adam, lie under the curse. We all do, lie under the curse, and are deserving of eternal death. God would have done no injustice by leaving them all to perish and delivering them over to condemnation on account of sin, according to the words of the apostle. What words? That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So the Lord would say, I pass you by. And the Lord would say, not you. What can you how can you respond? How can you say, Lord, why not me? The Lord could say, why you? I don't have to save you. There's no obligation. There's no duty to save people. I could pass you by. So we have sinned against God. We actually are sin. Or think of Ephesians 2, very profound. That in time past he walked according to the course of this world. The courses were buying and eating and planting and marrying and just live your life. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, among whom also we all had our conversation, our walk in times past in the lusts of flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So it's common. It's true for all of us. There are no good people. We all make our sins, the amount of those sins, more and more. We think of the sin, the debt, the sin of ignorance. And yet, so seriously, Apostle Paul did not know what he was doing. It was ignorance. He really thought to do God a favor. He really thought he was doing well. He didn't see it. And so people today can be the same, thinking, I'm doing it all right. I'm on the right course. And being so wrong. Sin of ignorance. A sin of weakness. Think of Peter in the courtyard of the high priest. I don't know the man. So fearful and trembling, weakness, and to stand outside and weep bitterly, sin of weakness. How often are we in weak moments that we just immediately give in for fear of men, to please ourselves, to protect ourselves. That is premeditated sin. Think of David. He wanted Uriah to be killed, and he thought about it, had a plan. He planned it. He planned that Uriah would be killed. He did his best for that. He was very cunning in that sense, very smart, and it happened. He was killed in the war. Premeditated murder. Or it can be the sin of shallowness. Just live. Just don't worry. Hope for the best. Don't think too deep. In the Bible are different words for sin, for death. You may remember them. If not, here they are. Transgressions, right? Article, Lord's Day 51, speaks the poor sinners, our transgressions, transgression, trans is from one side to the other side, right? transport, transform. And so transgress is going over that line. To transgress and trespass against the Lord. That is revolting. That is rebellion. That is on purpose breaking with God. Transgression is breaking with God according to the original. And so in a sense we break free. And make our own decisions, our own bosses. And of course you've heard the word iniquity. You say, what is that? We don't use that word so often anymore. Iniquity, what's iniquity? That's such an iniquity. It means something that is crooked. Something that is not straight. Something that is not blatant sin, but it's wrong yet. It's iniquity. Sometimes premeditated, I agree, but most of the time not. It is crooked behavior. The Lord has a measuring stick. The Lord says, no, that's not how I meant it. This is crooked. This is wrong. It's all bent. It's useless. Or the word sin. The word sin is violating the purpose. We sometimes also say missing the target. But let me say this way now. Violating the purpose. For example, if you have a jug of milk on the counter and someone stumbles and knocks it over and the whole counter, kitchen counter, the floor, it's all milk. And you say that's not the purpose of the milk. The purpose is to drink it. And the purpose is not to be on the floor. And so we violate our purpose. What's our purpose? You heard it this morning. To show in our whole life God's image. To exalt the Lord in resembling Him in His communicable attributes. In His goodness, in His glory, in His patience, to show something of God, that's the purpose, and now to violate that purpose and live for yourself. For yourself. That's sin. I repeat that if someone does not believe in God, there is deep down no sin. Something you don't like. So you could have a conversation with someone. Suppose you have a colleague or a fellow student at university who doesn't believe in anything. You could start a discussion about that and say, what's wrong and what's right? And then continue, what if I would take a hammer and hit you over the head? I'm not planning to do that. I think it's wrong. Do you think about that? Of course it's wrong. Why? Why is it wrong to kill you? I agree, but why is it wrong? Yeah, because it is harming people. So what? What's wrong with that? They're harming people. Yeah, of course. Why? Well, of course, what do you mean? Because the Irian Jaya are cannibals, probably still. And they need to survive. And they eat each other. So, how do you know what's right, what's wrong? You know, if you don't believe in God, you have a hard time defining evil. There is no evil. The scientist Hawkins, who recently died, admitted that. He said that there is no religion, there is no philosophy, there is no evil. There's no evil. There's suffering. There's suffering. There's no evil. It's who decides what's wrong. There's suffering, there's pain, there's no evil. If someone is an atheist and consistent in his thinking, there's no evil. And yet, We behave. We sit quietly in church, not disturbing the worship service. Nice people, good people you are. You just live your life in a decent way. How come then? If you say people are so bad, so sinful, and increase their debt, and I don't see it. I see there are so many nice people. Well, a few things about that. In the first place, there is a restraining power of God who is holding the reins and is holding us in his common grace. And if the Lord would let go, we will be devils. As deep down our hearts, we are evil. So the Lord is holding on to us, restrains us, is holding us back, reining us in his common grace. And on top of that, why don't we like it? If a police officer is pulling us over, and we start talking and trying to defend ourselves, trying to talk him out of giving a ticket, and we are so happy, it worked. We come home and we say, oh, was it a ticket? I talked him out of it. He said, okay, for this time I let you go. He forgave. You don't like the consequences, right? It was not that you want the police officer to be nice or to be reconciled or something to that man. No, you did not want to pay the price. So often people don't sin because of its consequence and the shame and the social control, and they're in trouble. So they say, I'm not going to do that. I'm too smart for that. I'm too wise for that because I will suffer more if I just let go. So why did the Lord Jesus teach his disciples to pray? Because we can pray. And why did the Lord Jesus teach the disciples to pray, forgive us our debts? What's the sense of asking that? Does it make any difference to ask for forgiveness? You know, when you think about that, that includes something, that tells us something. It tells us this, there is forgiveness with the Lord, that he may be feared, because the Lord has a deep interest in himself. And he said by Ezekiel the prophet to the people of Israel, it's not because of your name. I don't really do it for you. It's not that I pity you. It's for my own name's sake and glory. I want to see my image back, and it will be to the praise of the glory of my grace. The Lord loves it to show his forgiveness. You know, you're sitting in the backyard, you look at Mount Cham, and you see all the trees, and you hear the birds. It's a beautiful day today. You see something of the majesty of God's creation. But the Lord wants to show something else. He wants to show more. Not only his design and glory, the Lord wants to show that he can do something so incredible. He shows he can forgive. He can take away sins. Yet being just, he can forgive. There is forgiveness. So that's why the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, ask for that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. There is hope. There is forgiveness with the Lord. So what do we need that forgiveness for then? You tell me. Well, Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, is that the reason? I see. I don't want God frown on me. That's dangerous. I want to feel safe. Is that what it is? Or is there a deeper cause to bring you to God? to bring you to God. That's a key verse in 1 Peter 3:18. I like the verse. Here it is. For Christ also has once suffered, once, only one time, suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He brings to God, the Lord Jesus does. There is forgiveness, and the forgiveness has a purpose, not to just let you off the hook, and just let you be feel safe and smug and good, but to bring to God. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives in the heart. I want to be brought back to God. What brings me to God? I want God back in my life. I want to be reconciled. I would like to have that togetherness and that communion. I hunger for the Lord. So some people need forgiveness to bring to God. What about you? Why do you ask forgiveness of our debts? Ephesians 2, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Forgiveness. And we know there is forgiveness. Even for that sin of ignorance of Paul. Even of that sin of weakness of Peter. Even for that sin of premeditated murder and more of David, there is forgiveness. Think of the people of Israel. A few weeks ago, they were delivered out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God and gone through the Red Sea. You would say those people don't complain and don't want to serve another God. And yet they did. They made a golden calf, right? And the Lord was wroth with that people. It was a dangerous situation for them. And yet I read in God's word about that salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is abundant in mercy and gracious. Here it is. And the Lord passed by before and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. One word after the other, all on that same anvil, on that same subject. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. See? All three, iniquity, transgression, and sin, and that by no means will clear the guilty. So there is forgiveness with the Lord. He's slow to anger. And there's steadfast love. So let's go back to the Heidelberg Catechism. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. You know, God cannot just forgive. He cannot just look the other way. You sometimes do that. You better do. I hope you're not a tit-for-tat person, always responding to something and just always getting back to people. Sometimes you just let it go. Just don't answer. Forgive. Turn a blind eye to that. You can't respond to every detail. You better do. But the Lord can't. He's not supposed to either. is God. He must be just. He must pay back. And also loves at the same time. How can there be a loving God? How can a loving God be a just God? I don't understand all those things either. But that's the Bible. And the Lord Jesus absorbed the wrath of God's soul to save the people from their sins. There is a substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his blood, gave his life to save people from their sins, to take those sins away. But he had to pay for that. Answer this. How important is that blood to you? Do you step on it? Do you ignore it? Do you love it? Is it dear to you? Do you seek salvation through that blood? Quite something to ignore it. Going back to the catechism, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, impute. Ask the boys and the girls. What is that? Not to impute sins to poor sinners. Impute. What is imputation? Someone says, well, it's an injection. Like nurses inject in your body. So the Lord injects his mercy. Absolutely wrong. That's not what it is. It's the opposite. His forgiveness does not do anything in you. Forgiveness does not change you. Sanctification does. But justification does not. Forgiveness has nothing to do with who I am. Forgiveness has to do with how God views me. If he takes that sin away, it's not reckoning. It's about counting. So the Lord imputes not transgressions to his people. He does not hold them guilty. He takes their guilt away. So what's the sense of asking? Lord, do not impute my sins unto me. Was the sense of asking. Now the Lord is encouraging people to ask this. Encouraging. There are many beautiful texts in the Bible about that. Too many to mention. It's quite crucial though. And I can only bring those words to the ear. My prayer is that the Lord brings to the heart and that something happens tonight to you. Those are powerful words. I can't force anything, but I can bring this to your ear. We pray in our Lord, may they hear it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God for he will abundantly pardon. Do you hear that? Maybe you don't feel that wicked. Maybe you do. But even if you feel really, really wicked, the Lord says, I have a word for you. Oh, you wicked man, forsake your way. Take another route. And forsake your evil thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. I don't dare to. It's hopeless. I'm so wicked. No, the Lord says, and he will have mercy. not may have, will have mercy upon him. He abundantly pardons. So pray that. Forgive us our debts. Pray it boldly, confidently, knowing that the Lord is more willing to forgive than that you are to be forgiven. Well, we know those texts from Ezekiel 18 and other places. Let me just take a more unfamiliar text from Ezekiel 18. Have I any pleasure? Have I any pleasure at all? At all? That the wicked should die? Have I any pleasure at all? That the wicked should die, said the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Now you would say tonight, I like those words. I see that. But now what's the next thing? Bring before the Lord. Say, Lord, let me return now. Return ye. Hosea 14, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, I can say that tonight as well, your God, your covenant God. O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with your words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, what? Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. What a word. By your knees and I say, Lord, I heard something tonight. I heard that I'm welcome. I heard I must return, but I have no feet to come, no hands to receive. Lord, but now I must return. And I heard there is an abundance of pardon. Plead with that and meditate on that. Or think of Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How often do we have to pray that? Can God's children pass that and say, I don't have to pray it anymore? Because their sins are forgiven or so? Not even the holiest of God's children have to continue praying this. Because we all fall in sin on a daily basis. And we have to keep going our whole lifetime. Lord, forgive. Lord, forgive. Lord, forgive again. As we forgive. A congregation, there is lots of anger in this world. In the church. No lies, lots of anger and envy and bitterness and desire for revenge, retaliations, lots of anger in families, in marriages even, anger. And that anger often stands in the way. Then you can pray this, forgive us our debts, but I am not going to forgive. I can't. Something doesn't make sense. Something doesn't fit. So it is absolutely necessary to forgive. You know, in anger are lots of different elements. Anger is, what is anger? I'm so disgusted. That's all right. That's always the case. certain sins, all sins are disgusting. And you don't have to change that. You don't have to change your opinion on disgusting things. So it's okay. You can say that. You strongly disagree. It's absolutely wrong. It's so wrong, I strongly disagree. That's fine. You may feel that way. Feel that way. Strongly disagreeing. You say, I'm offended. I can see that. I'm hurt. Yeah. I don't trust that person at all, ever. I can see that. But to hate the person, to hope that the person will get cancer and die soon, that feeling kind of would like to slap you in the face. The feeling would like to pull the trigger next to your head. That's hatred. And that's wrong. You can pray this. Forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. There's hypocrisy in that. Because even people do absolute terrible things to each other, it is less than what we do to God. Believe that? Or do you think other people have sinned more against you than you sinned against God? If you think that way, if you think that people's sins and hurt against you is worse than you do to God, I don't know what to say. Then you have it upside down. It's all lopsided. So our sins are sins against the highest majesty of God, good doing, perfect, innocent. And sins of people against us are not against the majesty and a king and someone of high authority. It's bad. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It hurts. I strongly disagree. I feel strong about that. But it's not the same, right, as sinning against God. So that's why we read about that in the Bible. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, if you can do that, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a necessity to let go. Necessity to leave it in God's hands. You still think it's disgusting, you don't trust, that you feel hurt and the pain, you strongly disagree, that's fine. But you can't hate. You can't desire someone's condemnation. You may go to the police, right? Justice needs to be done by court, right? But you have at the same time, you personally have to forgive, and that's so hard sometimes. Because we don't see it. What we have done to God. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants and wanted the taxes to be paid. And one was brought under which owed him 10,000 talents. That's astronomical. That's a huge amount. You can't pay it off in a lifetime. That's beyond hope. Someone owed him 10,000 talents. He had nothing to pay. And his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant of her fell down, worshipped him, and said, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Which was impossible. But he said, I will pay thee all. And the Lord, the servant, was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You would say, that person has learned something about forgiveness. That 10,000 talents can be forgiven. But you know, this same servant out found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. I don't know exactly how much it is, but it's way less. Way less than 10,000 talents. And he said, pay me. And he grabbed him by the throat, pay me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all, which was possible in lifetime. But he would not. He refused to forgive. He received compassion and forgiveness. He himself was unforgiving. I don't do that. He would not, and he went and cast into prison till he should pay all the debt. You know the rest of the story? Right? Those fellow servants heard this and saw that and reported to the king. And the king asked him to come forward and asked him, what did you do? I forgave you. You can't forgive? You can't forgive? I'm forgiving. You can't forgive? Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So that means hell. If we don't forgive people and only want God's forgiveness, we are on the wrong track. And that's a shortcut to hell. Not to forgive. We have to forgive. So, let me make it more concrete. Who do you hate? Who is it? Who do you have absolutely no use for? And who would you like to slap in the face or kill instantly sometimes? Write it down on a piece of paper tonight. This is my anger. And then bow your knees and say, Lord, I have to let go. And take the piece of paper with all the offenses written there and tear it in pieces and drown it. Get rid of it. Literally, that piece of paper, all the hurt and all the anger, let go. And then pray to the Lord, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The apostle writes to the Ephesians, to God's church. That's true for them that have experienced bad things in their lives, but also smaller things in marriages, in other relationships, at work, in school. There can be anger, and you say something sharp, and your colleague says a little sharp back, and you get into whirlpool in your marriage, whatever relationship it is. And you forget about forgiveness, and you're bitter, and still bitter, because of what has been said years ago. You just hold a grudge, and you can't let it go. The evidence of God's grace, do we have it in us? So from whence come wars and fightings among you? Are you fighting? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. The Apostle Paul was very concrete about those things and said, I know it's a big thing to be angry and to be not able to forgive, but we have to do that. So congregation, lay before the Lord. Those things belong to one another. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And keep in mind, I talked about it already, keep in mind, but I would like to underline that, it's all to bring back to God. That's part of it. And if you're holding the grudge, you're not brought back to the Lord. Seek the Lord. And his power, he has the power to forgive. Those four men were lowered, those four men lowered their friend through the roof. And the Lord Jesus said, would you like to see that I have the power to forgive? So this man, rise and take your bed and walk. He has the power to forgive. If someone has guilt ridden among us tonight, wondering if there is forgiveness, I say it emphatically and positively, there is forgiveness. Seek it. Amen. Almighty Lord, thou knowest us most perfectly in our hearts. All we ask, the Lord, give us that place that we are a bigger sinner than we thought we were before. May we see it, Lord, that you have sinned not against people, as people have sinned maybe against us. We have sinned against such a holy God, such a good-doing God, such an omnipresent God. No words to describe what that sin is like. We see it and repent and seek forgiveness in the blood of the Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, cause us to seek wholeheartedly. And may we find it as also David has found and rejoiced in the Lord again. Who would have thought that he would be forgiven ever? Be mindful of us this week. Give us thy grace. Give us thy help and our responsibilities. Thou remember also those who look up against this week. Give also trust in the Lord to follow the Lord, make it yet well. Also, and to go to the hospital in Jesus' name alone. Amen.